pretty ugly at the end of Campbell Road, I guess is where it is.
Out of Brown Branch area.
Brown Branch, and it says, by order of the county commission, blah, blah, blah.
This road is in access, is closed to the creek or whatever, and we got some complaints, and we think it might be in Douglas County, and it might be the Douglas County Commission that did it.
So that's why we said, Frank, you need to go out and find out which county commission, but the, you're saying the sign is in Douglas County.
That's what I was just told by Randy and Harvey.
Good. Caller meeting back to order. Sorry for my interruption. Got the Dr. Pepper here. I'll be good.
All right, so we got that done. You can sign it.
We'll get her sent out.
The what's next on the agenda there?
The IDA appointment.
Okay, Tim McConnell's supposed to be here for that.
Yep. That's not till what?
10 o'clock, which is after 10 already.
And then 10:15, you've got...
I think we didn't put a timeline, did we, with those?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got 10:15 Sunset Road, which the winners are here.
And then 10:30 is the medical.
And these gentlemen, don't tell me we've rushed to have nothing to do.
We have nothing to do for 9 minutes.
Well...
Can we have an update from the Sunset Road Sewer Board in general discussions? I mean, we have administrative.
Yes, I would like to ask Mr. Suti to come to the podium, please. And under administrative and departmental functions, give us just a little update of what happened at the sewer board as far as Sunset.
Okay.
Please.
Sean Berry of Great River Engineering is here today, and he had talked to Rod Yao with LS&C. We got some costs from Mr. Yao. The cost to pave the road of what they have submitted to us and to lay the base is $8,438, in which half of that amount was $4,219. And then if the county should decide to install the base, there was a cost of $7,818. Which half of that was $3,909 respectively. There was some variations to that, which Sean could get into a little bit. He spoke more in depth with Mr. Yao. One of them included the county bringing the material, the base rock, out to the site, providing that material, as I believe their crusher down at the Forsyth Wastewater Plant is out of service, so that would be a service to them if they could have the base provided. I believe that the difference between providing and installing the base and not is like $240. So for Frank's people and the much work as they've got going on out in the county for $240, if LS&C would go ahead and do that work, that would probably be a good thing.
242 times two? Or
$240, I believe, generally was the difference. And there's these prices, from what I understand, a worst case scenario, if it should take less asphalt, then that would be based on how many units of asphalt that it takes. So this information was submitted to the sewer board. Of course, we only had three members there yesterday. We had Mr. Johns, Mr. Easley, and Chairman Cummings was there. Chairman Cummings was kind of on the fence about the issue. Board Member Johns didn't see how the sewer district had any liability or responsibility in the matter, since the actual discussions was between a contractor employee. And Mr. Easley stated that he may support half minus $1,000 figure, or in his way of thinking was that the property owner should be responsible for some of the finance of making this happen. They discussed that briefly. There was not a motion made, and after discussing the matter for probably 10 or 15 minutes, they decided to table it rather than make any decision until the other two board members could be present, which that'll be in 2 weeks. And that was how it went.
I sat through the meeting and heard all of that. We had another issue come along from some folks on Harvard Street. On they're tired of waiting on the asphalt to get there. I went and visited with Road and Bridge after that, after going down and looking at the road. Talking about Harvard now, not Sunset. my understanding from Frank, Randy, or someone that the very soonest that we're going to see asphalt is 3 weeks from Jernigan.
That's what they stated at the construction meeting Monday. That's is what, that Jernigan had left the area, and it would be at least the third week in May before they would be able to come back to the project site.
And that
confirms the 3 weeks I've heard for Shorty Cooper. That's the earliest availability for Shorty Cooper.
So I bring that up because we're not pushed. Do we want, I guess the question would be, and we need to wait till 10:15 to make that question, is do we want to wait to see what the sewer board decides when they pick it up from being tabled? So here in a few minutes we need to discuss that.
Okay, I'm going to discuss another issue.
Okay.
that pertains to these roads that we're talking about. The roads that were added to on the Bee Creek project that were roads that were not county roads that were tore up by the county in the sewer project that were replaced. Those roads weren't taken in under county maintenance, but they were replaced.
Mm-hmm.
With asphalt, and some of them didn't. The reason I bring this up is because I have been a stickler on the 40-foot easement maintenance program, and I would rather see the road put in, replacement of. Look, if you've got a decent road and we have had the sewer come in and tear it up, then I would like to see the road put back in at a equal or better standard, but I don't think that until we reach the easement issue, that we should have county maintenance on that road. You see, I think we ought to treat everybody fair, the ones that were in the Bee Creek project there with the road that was replaced and not no county maintenance, and this issue with tearing up the road that was there, and these people have had to suffer through the bog that Mr. Winter mentioned to try to get in and out, that the road be replaced, but not under county maintenance program.
Like, may I suggest that you think about a motion between now and 10:15,
yeah.
And maybe we can take an action.
And I'm still going to ask that the sewer board be a part of that if they will agree to it. And
so I mean, really, if you're going to
ask the sewer board to be available,
then we motion for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
They're not meeting for 2 weeks. And it's going to be hard to ask for them to pay half if we agree to pay all of it up this week.
But
they're going to say it's already paid for.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, you gentlemen are welcome to come and share your feelings with them, but I'd say, you know, I usually don't speak for the board, but I say it's at best 50-50 whether they would approve to do this or not, just to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I know how Mr. Daniels is probably going to feel about it. Mr. Gardner, I'm not sure about Mr. Gardner, what his feelings would be. So, and it was about 50-50 yesterday, of course.
Well, Danny, you could, and I jumped in there too soon, I think, maybe, is you could make a motion and for the action to send back to the sewer board if you wanted to, or as Jim said, we can just wait 2 weeks and attend the sewer board meeting or however you want to do it.
Because once again, pavement's not going to start in 3 weeks. No matter what, asphalt's not happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Our next board meeting will be on the 18th.
That might be the best, is to approach them again, but I see that we have a problem created by the county that needs to be corrected by the county. Whether it's taken into county maintenance, I'm not in agreement with that because of the easement problem. Mm-hmm. But I am, I think there was a total of 4, maybe 5 streets in one area in the Bee Creek project that were not county roads that were tore up by the contractors and replaced.
No,
I remember that also, John. Well, were those paid for, do you remember, by the sewer monies, or was Road and Bridge do those? You remember?
Any any roads, whether they're dedicated to the public or county roads, if they're damaged by the project, of course, they have to be replaced.
Exactly.
We had some over there that were kind of, you know, not that improved, that were gravel, that gravel was reinstalled. If it was a public road or an easement, you know, going back to somebody's home, if it had some kind of hard surface, there was hard surface put back. I'm trying to think of any that might have been gravel that we put asphalt back, and I might have to talk to Archer Engineers because I'm trying to think. I
mean, right.
I'll be glad to look into that
issue.
I
think there were two, if you'll look.
I'll check. There's so much issue.
But there were four or five roads that were affected that were put back into.
Generally, what we've done in the past is like Mount Branson and Short Creek is when we get in there, and even though there's not a sewer line in the road, them roads are scarred, we've always ended up paving our way out. And, you know, it's usually sometimes, I guess, maybe luck might have had it where the road department was getting ready to do some paving projects anyway, but we would share in that. There's areas down here, even on the paved roads, where there wasn't any sewer line, but where they run equipment in and out, that you can definitely see an impact to the hard surface. Mm. And some of those are private, some of those are county roads.
Right.
You know, where if they would have went another 30 feet, like down on Moon, onto Willie Oaks Road, and just paved that, and the way they left it, it kind of just stands out. It just looks like, you know, what happened here.
Yeah.
You know, it just don't look right. But
Well, my main purpose and my statement is that I don't want to get into it. We have a county standard that we want to meet, that we have stayed with since I've been here, and I don't want to leave that. But these are sewer projects that have tore up existing roads, and I want them put back into place. And if there is a problem, that's what I want to do. That's what this commissioner wants to do.
Okay. Winters, I've heard your case, and I assume, would you like to say anything? Because it appears that we're going to stall this for a couple of weeks is what I'm hearing.
I
think I've said it all. Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry you got out here without a decision, but Frank?
If I could add a couple comments, Mr. Strahan, I appreciate your concern, and it's very valid in the right-of-way issue. In this particular issue, in this particular road, Sunset, the existing right-of-way is 30 feet from the onset to the end that we're at.
Right.
So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Right.
Acquiring additional right-of-way at the latter end of this road wouldn't really be beneficial to
the
continuous portion, but I appreciate your concern. The other issue that I have with this is that anytime we have the ability to eliminate a necessary backing up situation, which is what we're doing currently, if we can acquire a turnaround and have the ability not to back up, that's advantageous and beneficial to us. So those are major comments.
Good point.
Could you, are you working on the turnaround? I mean, could that something you could do in the next 2 weeks as work?
That's something that the Winters have agreed to in regards to using the driveway as a turnaround.
Well, right. Would you put that in papers? I mean, it sounds like we're going to have 2 weeks, and it'd be great for us to approve everything at one time if we're going to provide a turnaround and pave it. I mean, let's do it all at one time if we've got 2 weeks to do it.
Absolutely.
Because that fixes a safety concern that obviously would be one of my biggest concerns.
I can find the name of that one I was speaking of earlier that we've done in a driveway turnaround. And I bet you we can find that letter if we wanted to use it for a pattern.
We did one in the Bee Creek Sewer Project.
Did we? So we've got a fresh one, a new one.
Right. And if you want one that's closer, if you go down Timber Lake, and we took that road in to the right, and those people had a circle drive at the end of their driveway, and that was the one where we had to get the 2.5 feet to meet the 40-foot regulation. We had to get 2.5 feet on each side of the road, and we used their turnaround driveway. I think it's around a flower bed or around a big tree or something there, and we they dedicated it to us. So
the direction is Frank will work on a document to do that. That works out
and
good.
And we'll post it the Wednesday after the sewer board meeting.
Yeah.
the 19th. Is that right? Okay, the 19th we'll post it.
Sounds like we've got a pretty decent plan, so if you can be patient with us a couple of weeks, sounds like we'll have an action for you.
The area where we're talking about.
Come on up.
The 30-foot bubble.
Come on up to the mic, please.
That area we're speaking of, you might need a 30-foot right away. I don't know what they have so far, but the road, two or three of those houses that have been blacktopped, they're 14 to 15 foot wide blacktop. But I mean, I don't know where your easements go.
The way the map looks, it's 30 foot even past where we're talking place about, and that's what Frank was saying. The whole thing's 30 feet, so I think we're okay there.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Mr. Winter, while you're there, just to explain to you, Hillside Court was, we made those people get an easement, and they waited for a year to get so they could get the people out of state and everything else. So I just want to treat everybody fairly. The word is equal and fair. So that's the reason that I would rather go the other process and get it done. I'm hoping the sewer board will see the same thing, and I'm going to speak with them about it.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Sean, you didn't get an opportunity. Would you like to speak on this issue?
Anything you want to say?
No,
I just have a packet I'll give you guys. It's maybe you know more about it than I think you do. This is what we ended up the sewer district.
Okay.
It shows some pictures of where we're talking about. I don't know if you guys have been out the site or not. And the length of the extension and all that stuff. So,
good. Thanks for the info.
You've got some of the survey data and stuff that might help Frank. I don't know what y'all are up to.
Right, you need it.
Okay.
I've got it all on diagram and plan.
All right.
In regards to Mr. Strahan's comment, for reasons of consistency, that would be beneficial to the county to have the sewer department pay for it under those circumstances.
That'd be better for the budget, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an assistant to assist with it is where I'm going. So.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And we ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. Mr.
I have a 11 that I'm trying to push back to at least 11:15, so I've got at least 30 minutes. I'm going to have 30 minutes.
That's all I want.
Good. And then I've got...
Sorry. Tim, welcome, sir. Do we need Frank for a while?
I think you're good since afternoon.
Okay. If sit here if you like or stand either one.
We're good.
Okay, you'll have it. That's what the meeting's about. So.
Good morning.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for coming over.
No problem. Although it's hard to come in, there's not a cloud in the sky.
Boy, it is hard when it's out
so
like that outside.
This morning, so I've been over at Branson already. All right, three things I just wanted to touch bases with you guys about as the IDA chair. First of all, is we have sent you guys a recommendation over for the final two spots of our board. For filling the board to where we'll have 9 people, and this is the, from what I'm understanding, the close to the first time in quite some time we've been able to fill the board. Our two recommendations, one was Susan Martin, who's with, Chuck, you'll have to help me with the...
Homes of Hope.
Homes of Hope, I always get that confused after the Habitat years. But Homes of Hope, where she's been the executive director for years. Susan lives on Lakeshore,
mm-hmm.
So that would be East Side as well. She was our finalist that we suggested to you. And then also, which we're going to talk about a little bit more, is we've met with the superintendents of the county. I sent out an invitation, had them to our offices right before we had our meeting, and then put out to the area superintendents that had attended, as well as the ones that were invited before, if they wanted to put in for our board. And I actually had two, Hollister and Kirbyville. Our board voted to recommend Kirbyville. Carlos Osborne, who is a new superintendent there, but both him and Hollister had put in for it, and we talked about that and voted for our reasons and recommended the Kirbyville superintendent to be on that board as well. So I think that's a very nice thing to add there, as well as a, you know, you have someone in Susan that's on homeless in a habitat deal, their background, and so housing, residential, which we always need to be concerned about, but also then with a school superintendent, which I don't know of a school superintendent in the past being on our IDA board ever. So as we will go into the conversation here in a second about the EEZ map that we've had drawn and I forwarded to you guys, they will also become more of an integral part of that development of our community, and I think it's very important to make sure that our school districts are involved in this, as well as the municipals, which we've been doing. We did have another finalist in there, Ron Potter, who's the new Forsyth mayor. I just think that with the school districts at the last second, if you want to be honest about it, the last second with the school districts coming online and looking at interest into it, I think it'd be easy in the future. I think that that's why we went that way with the first two recommendations of Susan and also Carlos. So with that, I'm looking for formal ratification of them being put on the board.
Okay, we've already voted on Susan, correct?
Correct.
No. Yep. We voted on Susan for planning and zoning. And so we would vote on Susan for
IDA.
The IDA.
I asked, right. That's probably right, because Commissioner Straffis or have one of the girls from upstairs come to me and wanted to know about voting on Susan. I said, hold off, let's get both of them at the same time. So maybe
that's right.
That is correct.
So
rings a bell.
So there, you guys made the recommendation then? So we can go ahead and vote.
I'd entertain a motion to that effect.
I'll make that motion.
For Susan and
Carlos Osborne?
Osborne from Kirby.
Is there any...
Second the motion from Danny.
Yeah. Is there any... does the IDA stand under any legal deal with the superintendents? I'm sure you've checked that out and all that, but there's not any...
There's no problem in the statutes, and if they had a conflict of interest on any given project, of course they would need to abstain from voting.
Right. Bob had even checked on elected officials because that issue came up with Ron Potter, and I wanted to be aware of that for the future as well. If we have an opening, we want to make sure that we're meeting with everyone.
Is anyone aware of term?
Term, 6 years.
6 years.
Both of them, 6 years.
Yeah, it's a prison sentence.
Yeah.
Look, you don't look at it that way.
No.
Do you see a problem with that? I'm talking about people that serve on a board.
It's statutory.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I looked at it with Ken Klein too, because Ken said if we had 4 year, we'd have probably a better chance.
You want to change the bylaws, and the statute says 6 years.
Yeah.
All right, we have a motion and a second to appoint Susan Martin and Carlos Osborne to the IDA board as recommended by the board members. IDA board members.
Yep. And if I may, Carlos is C-A-R-L-E-S-S, like without car, it's not Carlos for her spelling.
All right, ready to vote?
Yep.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Second item I have for you is what I've put in front of you is a copy of what we've been working on at the IDA. Is an enhanced enterprise zone. Bob, I'll leave a copy with you as well. I sent this to the commissioner some time back. What I wanted to do is make it so you guys are understanding of it. And I've highlighted some points on this slideshow. This is what was presented to the school districts by Jeff Seifert with the Ozarks Economic Regional Group out of Springfield, and who has been assisting us with the getting the map drawn, if you will. This has not cost us a dime to get to this stage, but basically, so you guys, what's been going on is that we expressed the interest of looking into an enhanced enterprise zone. We have done so. It's based on census data, of which the state handles with the Fed, and so we have already gone to the state through Jeff Seifert. He got us a preliminary. He then has gotten us a final draft of that written. I have forwarded that to all three of you guys, but basically it opens up pretty much the whole county, except for maybe on East 76, the T Highway area all the way back over to Lake Taneycomo is out of it. Kirbyville and all of our municipalities are in it, except for in the city of Branson, there's some areas carved out of that as well. Again, this is based on census data. We have met with all the, I know as far as the main political officials, it seems like, in the municipals of Branson, Hollister, Forsyth. Forsyth even attended our meeting regarding it, and we got it redrawn for them. In the case of the schools, our concern was out on the heels of the TIFs that we've seen in our county. There has been, of course, we want to make sure we're getting everybody communicated to it, and as we've used the word transparent to them in regards to understanding what's going on. With that, I reached out to the superintendents, as I had mentioned earlier, for the whole county. Dr. Hyder from Branson and some of those guys got together, communicated to all of them, and came to our office on the ones that wanted to participate. We had Forsyth, Hollister, Kirbyville, Branson, and I think that was it. Bradleyville, I did not see or hear from at all, nor Taneyville. So the thing is at that meeting we sat down and we went through, Jeff Seifert worked as the third party to present this to them of what an enhanced enterprise zone is. Part of that, on page two of that, it shows in the top right, and I've highlighted for you guys that basically where we're at right now is just getting the map drawn, seeing that, telling the state that this is our final map, and now we've gone into the phase of basically trying to just communicate, and it's not in that list of things. We'd rather get everyone knowing what's going on before we get into the formal process of it. After that is done, there will actually be a setup of an EDZ board, and we will come to the county commission probably in the month of June to review this with you guys and tell you what we've done formally, and then ask for moval forward of creating an EEZ. And at that time, I'll bring Jeff Seifert back with me from the Ozarks Economic Regional Group, who has worked with Webster County and Greene County already to form this. Okay? But right now, we're just going through that. Now, at the bottom of that page, too, I want you to note there that as part of that, it is required that there is one member appointed by the school boards for 5 years in that. So the schools are going to be represented again in that EEZ, so they will have say in that. On the top of page three, moving this along, it tells the responsibilities of the board. On the right side of that, ineligible businesses, I want to make sure we're clear about this. Retail is not available for this. So we are talking industry, whereas in the TIFs, we've seen a lot of retail, primarily retail, come into that. I want you guys to reassure to that. That was a reassuring factor also. Gambling is not available in this as well. So what we are talking about and looking for is diversification of our industry and support of retail and other things in our area, if you will, something diversified for our county. That would be new. Now, in the bottom left, that's where it talks about what it really is. It's a minimum of 50% for 10 years, and it's on property tax abatement. Now, in that, it has nothing to do with sales tax. You can't change it to be for sales tax. You can slide the scale up or down. Usually 50% is the minimum. You can slide that up and down to the 100%. But most of them don't ever do that. It's just at a lower deal. Specific terms are clear. You basically do a contract with that individual, and it only applies to improvements to real property, so not the land itself. These are just some things I thought the commissioners needed to start getting familiar with. We'll be having more of these along these lines. And I do want you guys to understand our door is open to you individually as well. If you have questions about this, we need to make sure everyone is aware of what this does. This does not harm any of our agricultural as well in our community. So I do want to point that out as well. The areas that we strive to look at in this and where you guys, so you understand what we're trying to apply towards, we made sure, of course, the existing ones are in it. The Branson Underground is another area that we know has tried to move into that area, and we want to make sure it is available. It is in it, in the EEZ. Also, we pay special attention to the airport and the land south of that, because we are in talks already with the Patch Group and some of those about the vacant acreage south of the airport. And it's not in the airport's land, it's Patch's development land south of it. And also the Hollister Road that was proposed before, we watched for that because of now having OTC's campus coming in over there. We know there's going to be some changes to the road districts there. And also the recent discussion about the Highway 160, I believe it is, corridor over on Forsyth's corridor there is what we've been watching also. So all of those are in the EEZs for sure. So we're just moving on. The final thing on the EEZ, I want you guys to understand, this is just a piece of a puzzle that we have to put together, whether it's roads or other things, but the OTC getting approved in Hollister is a huge part of this puzzle. And just like we saw in Lebanon, where Lebanon was able to attract a large employer, retool their people in that community over to doing welding jobs, that's where OTC stepped in. This is all a piece of this puzzle that we're trying to move forward on. On the back side of this is part of a meeting which Chuck, Commissioner Pennell had been at for the Ozarks Economical Regional Group. They had a gentleman there speaking from U.S. Bank Corp, which is the largest facilitator of federal enhanced enterprise zones. And I have already reached out to him as of this morning, asking him to come down because the Patch Group and their new partners, the McMillan Group, I believe, out of California, has expressed interest and has experience in doing federal programs like this too. So that's the final, you know, we're just trying to get this opened up as much as possible. So then when you do get a large conglomerate, is our hope, as a company coming to look to relocate in the central United States for Taney County, we can say we have the school process in place. We have taxation in the right areas. We have EEZ available. We have federal knowledge available. All this is here. Come to us and build with us. So that is my final presentation on the EEZ for today. But I did want to make you guys aware of it. If there's any ghosts or worries that you have about it, you just need to be open with us. Let us know. Have the girls contact me, whatever. We're trying to move this along as quickly as possible and efficiently as possible.
Very good. Questions?
Last matter is Tantone. I did want to put that recycling deal in front of you. I did want to say as a side note, our relationships with the USDA and DNR that we talk about all the time, those shake down in our community as well. And Tantone and the Disabilities Board have been working with USDA for some time. That's how they got their truck for doing the recycling pickup. That's how they're getting their money for their new commercial laundry, which will be online in July, serving the community. But also, I was at that meeting with Chuck for the Ozarks Economic Regional Group that's attended by Mark Holkren, who we've met with down here, who's the USDA head for our region. And he got me off to the side and said that the shredder truck that we've been after for about a year, we had him down about 2 or 3 months ago. I've been pounding on him. John Cox from Tantone has been asking about it, and he told me that they've already sent it up to Jeff City. We're one of two in their allotment, where we're going to get probably a $75,000 award for an $81,000 truck that we're looking to get. So we hope for that to be out running with it at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So, you know, we're moving on in areas, too, that we don't always understand that they might happen.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Great job, Tim. Thanks for all you're doing.
Mention the golf tournament later.
Oh, the golf tournament is also is a fundraiser for Tantone. We have an annual fundraiser. It is our second year of doing a gridiron golf, which we draw in Kansas City Chiefs and Rams players to participate. There is, if you don't want to play golf, it's on Sunday the 16th is the golf. If you're not a golfer like me, I'm still playing. But on the 15th, we are actually having a fundraiser that evening with silent auction on Saturday evening, the 15th, for the non-golfers to attend. And that will be where we'll be doing a silent auction to raise funds there as well. So we'd be happy to have all of you guys or any of you participate. But that is the other deal that we're moving on with also.
Where's that happen?
It's out at Stonebridge or Ledgestone, the golf course.
Yep.
And at the clubhouse is where we'll be doing the fundraiser as well.
And everybody that plays with one of the Rams or Chiefs players in their fivesome. It's a foursome plus one of the players.
Yeah, it's a great time. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Tim.
What else? Well, I thought there was the supervisor deal. With
Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Director position.
Okay, on a side note there, I'm the executive director. I worked with Nikki, and mainly Nikki, and got with her over spreading out. We didn't have a lot of people put in. We had one qualified person we felt that was worthy of recommendation. That person has chosen another job, I believe, at this point, within our community also as an economic director, Hollister. The thing is that we've gone out, if it turns out we didn't go out to many searches, mm-hmm. And I look at Jim, Mr. with the computers. Monster.com, the Springfield Daily News has a career line or something like that that's a national one. We've already gotten more in the last week, I believe, than we got in the whole process over 30 days.
So how long did you extend it for then?
30 days is what we ask of you guys. So I'll be culling those up here from that. And I wanted to tell you, I get them every day as Nikki gets them. She's been very efficient, Jillian, too, when she gets them, but we actually have gotten some recently in just the last day or two that actually have some potential.
So we're going to repost once you guys go through the process, recommend three, I think is what we asked you to do, then we'll post for us to have some discussion with those.
Correct. Gotcha. Correct. And actually, there are some in there. There was one I saw just as of yesterday that did actually have economic development background. So that was a nice thing to see starting to come through. But Nikki's done a good job of getting it out to more sources. We reached out to City of Branson also since they'd hired Garrett and found out the headhunter that they had used also. And I've suggested that she contact them as well. In fact, I asked her to talk with you about it, Jim, and see what you thought. But
go ahead and jump in.
I think it's something you need to do.
Yeah. Depends if you want to pay a fee.
Well, the thing is if you don't hire from them, you don't pay the fee.
Right.
So the thing is, you know, if we're going back to a situation of being slim again on what we get in or we're not happy with, having a headhunter involved, we have someone actually out beating the drum to draw people to our county as a place to work.
I'll see what Nikki has to say. I mean, I'm mixed on headhunters, I mean, because you pay a percentage of what the starting salary is usually, and that could be quite a few thousands of dollars. I kind of just want to wait and see without the, my initial is without the headhunter fee and see if we get enough qualified that we would be satisfied with. But I'll talk to Nikki about it. But
I'd recommend you do it just because of the budget. If you look at the budget on the way it's tracking right now, and as I'd sent you an email about some as well, I do think that you guys need to consider it. You've had Joan in that position vacant for a few months, so you've got a little bit of a build up there, but also you have some give and take within that budget that if you did choose to get a headhunter and they bring you a quality individual that you want to hire, it is within that budget to do it and pay that headhunter. So
okay, do we need a motion, Bob, to extend this or
for the job opening?
Extending it to 30 day thing is
I mean, I guess we're fine with it, right? I mean, we don't have any recommendations from the IDA.
I think you guys just need to be okay with it and move on.
We're okay with it, sounds like.
I'm fine with it.
All right. Very good.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to leave in 5 minutes. I'm going to be late. I got to be...
Okay.
But, I know Jimmy's next.
Yep.
The inmate. I think the inmate healthcare.
Inmate healthcare. Yeah. Our contract on the inmate healthcare is going to be up June the 15th. There is a clause in it.
I have to renew for a little bit more money, adjusted for.
Right. That says that if nothing is done, it will automatically renew on the 15th with a increase that is mutually agreed upon between the two parties. We have another company that is a very reputable company that deals with several different agencies around that is interested in bidding this. Normally I would say, well, we've got you know, we've been getting good service and everything, but I think we might be ahead to rebid this time.
So you want to direct Linda to go do the RFP and redo it?
I think there's a good possibility we could save $20,000-$30,000.
We need to do it.
Upon recommendation of the sheriff, I'm going to make a motion that we put this out for bid.
All right, direct Linda to do it. I'll second it.
Okay.
And we got to have it done by 15th of June.
We need to try to have it done by the 15th of June.
Those, which shouldn't be hard.
So. Yeah, those particulars okay. Will be put out by her.
Yeah. So.
If not, we need to do an extension on
she
this contract.
I mean, 3 weeks, I think the bid's as quick as 14 to 21 days, so we can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, we got a motion to go out for bid on the inmate health period.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Quick and easy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anything else left undone?
Not until
1
o'clock.
Are these guys here administratively?
Gentlemen, did you want to speak to us? Jim's on the way out, but we're open for administration if you want to bend your ear a minute.
Coming to meetings, don't you, Jeremy?
Just love them, huh? All right, we'll recess until 1 o'clock, and we've got newspaper bid discussion. Thank you.